Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months, then come the harvest.
Well, that familiar theme song will remind it. It's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily gospel broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Dr. Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I count it a real joy to come to the radio microphone again today and share with you another message from the Word of God. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege. It's mine to come to your place of listening day after day and share with you in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I trust that whatever you're doing today, you can maybe just slow down the pace a little bit and give us your ear, give us your mind, your attention, and let God speak to our hearts today from the Word of the Lord. I praise the Lord for every radio station that carries the broadcast, and I'm so grateful to God for the privilege that I have to come to your place of listening today. Our broadcast is centered upon missions and world evangelization, and on yesterday's broadcast, we spent the entire time looking at some just simple questions, introducing ourselves to what the Word of God teaches about missions, and we'll just briefly review that this morning, then move on in the study of the Word of God today. I said to you on yesterday, what is missions? And we discovered that missions is simply somebody going somewhere telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. In a more common context, missions is God calling families out of churches to leave their local church and to go out somewhere else in the world and help carry out the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then after God calls them, it's the church sending them, other churches supporting them and helping them to go and do the job that God has called them to do. Then the second question I asked on yesterday was, where did missions begin? And of course I said again, missions is a New Testament doctrine, but every New Testament doctrine has a type in the Old Testament. And the first glimpse of missions that we find in the Word of God is found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. After Adam and Eve had sinned, then the Garden of Eden becomes the first mission field. And God himself became the first missionary, and Adam and Eve become the first missions converts. And so it started right there. You see, mission started because God loves sinners too much to let them go to hell without leaving his home, coming to their home, and sharing with them the message of redemption through the blood of a substitutional sacrifice. So missions began literally in typology in the Garden of Eden. There are many other types in the Old Testament, but then as I said, missions is a New Testament doctrine based upon the Great Commission given us by our resurrected Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, I asked the question yesterday, why do missions continue? And the answer is very simple. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God could have killed the sinners and started all over again. To use a common expression, God could have wiped them out and began again. But instead of doing that, he left his home and came where they were at, that they might, as I said, have the message of redemption. And you say, well, preacher, why does it continue? May I say the answer is simple. God still loves sinners. He loves them too much to let them go to hell without calling somebody to go preach the gospel to them that they might be saved by the grace of God. Again, may I remind you that it's God's will that every creature have a preacher. The Bible said in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse number 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That teaches us you cannot preach the gospel in the wrong place. You cannot preach the gospel to the wrong person. And God wills for every creature to have a preacher. Now, the second question I dealt with, and the next question, is where's the mission field? And I said, there's a mission field on your street. There's a mission field across the states, and there are many mission fields across the sea. In fact, every saint is to be a missionary, and every sinner is to be looked at as a mission field. Somebody needs to take the gospel to that sinner that they might hear the Word of God, that they might believe it, turn from their sin to the Savior, and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. There's a mission field on your street. There's a mission field across the states. There are multitudes of mission fields across the sea. Anywhere there's a sinner, there's a need that somebody take the gospel to that sinner that they might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Well, there are other questions that I'll deal with as the programs continue, but I want to take a scripture verse today in John chapter 4, verse number 35, and begin a message this today on this verse of scripture. Now I'll deal with it throughout the remainder of the week, the Lord willing. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse number 35, as he was speaking to his disciples, he said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the field, for they're white, all ready to harvest." So our Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 4, verse number 35, lays out the fact for us that there is a harvest. And that harvest is to be harvested. We cannot bury our heads in the sand. We cannot turn our back upon the task. We must face the harvest and harvest the harvest, gather the harvest for the glory of God before it's eternally too late. And I want to build upon this verse of scripture for the next few days as the Holy Ghost would direct us to do so. There are three things I want to deal with from this verse of scripture on harvesting the harvest. Now, let me just say this up front. We can do two things about the harvest. Number one, we can ignore it. We can just simply close our eyes, turn our back, and let the world go on in its sin, enjoy its pleasure of sin for a season, then die in their sins and lift their eyes in a Christless hell. We can ignore it. But second, we can involve ourselves in harvesting this harvest. We can do something about the harvest. We can reach out to a lost and dying world and point sinners to the Savior that they might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. But what does the scripture say? Let's look at it this morning and let God speak to our heart. Let me say to you, to harvest this harvest, there are three things I want to deal with. First of all, in order to harvest the harvest, we must analyze, we must visualize the harvest. We must see it. He said in verse number 35, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white, all ready to harvest." Visualize the harvest. One of the great desires of the devil in this day is to keep God's people blinded to the fields that are white, ready to harvest. He's to keep our attention focused upon self and upon society and upon the pleasures of sin, so we will not get involved in reaping the harvest for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'd have you note the scripture said, "Lift up your eyes, look on the fields." May I remind you, that's not just a suggestion. That's not just an option. That is an order from God Almighty. That is not just a choice. It's a commandment that God tells us. Turn your eyes toward the field. Open your eyes. Study the field. Study the harvest. Behold the field. Gaze upon them. You see, when you see the harvest, as God sees it, and as God would have us to see it, then it will affect what we're doing about the harvest. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, verse number 51, "Mine eyes affecteth mine heart." And my friend, I want to say to you, that's true today, either for good and God, or for evil and the devil. What you see, what you gaze upon, what you think upon, what you meditate upon will affect what you do with your life. Let me give you some Bible illustrations. The Word of God said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse number 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there is no vision, the people perish. There's not a question in my mind today that the generation that we live in are perishing in sin. What is a problem, preacher? The people of God have no vision of the harvest. Where there's no vision, the people harvest. Then the two examples I want to give you. First of all, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 2, we find that this man by the name of Lot, the Bible called him a just man, but he vexed his righteous soul in what he saw and heard in the city of Sodom. May I say to you that the society that we live in has saw the world, the pleasures of the world, It's materialism. It's mannerism, all that's going on. And it's affected the heart of this generation. We're not a generation anymore whose heart is set after God, but we're a generation whose heart is set upon things of this world. Our Lord said to us in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But this generation is seeking things first and then wanting God to add his blessings to their things. So you see, our eye affects our heart. The Bible said in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse number 34, "And Jesus, when he went out, saw the multitude and was moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep fainting without a shepherd and began to teach them many things." You see what happened, preacher? What Lot saw in Sodom affected his heart. It not only affected his life, it affected his heart, it affected his life and his living. What Jesus saw when he saw the multitude affected his heart. But it not only affected his heart, it affected his life. And what you and I focus on will affect our heart, our life, and our living. That's why the Lord said, "Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white, all ready to harvest." Let me mention three things quickly this morning concerning the harvest. Yeah, I say to you, first of all, the harvest truly is plenteous. We would not argue that. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 9, verse 37, "The harvest truly is plenteous. Sinners are everywhere. There's fields all around the world that need the gospel." The harvest is plenteous. But let me say second, the harvest is precious. We're not dealing with just buildings and automobiles and property. We're dealing with souls that will live eternally forever. We're dealing with men, boys, and girls that God loves and that Christ died for. So the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is precious. And the harvest is perishing. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They are white, all ready to harvest. It's not just time to begin, but we're behind schedule. The world all around us, they're dying every minute and going to hell. And we cannot afford to wait till the next generation. Now is the time, and we must be up and about the Father's business while we have time and opportunity. Well, I see your time's about gone this morning. I trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today, and rejoice again tomorrow. Father, take the word of God, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Oh, the fields are white, it's all
Well, I trust you've enjoyed today's broadcast. It's a real privilege for me to come here to the microphone and sit down with the Word of God and preach and share with you the truths of the precious Word of God. I am so grateful to the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bound privilege. It's mine. And then I appreciate all the radio stations that carry the broadcast. I'm so grateful to God for this opportunity. But as I make the broadcast, it always goes through my mind, I wonder who's listening by the radio. Where all is my voice being heard today? Could I ask you a favor, please? Would you take a moment today, if the broadcast is a blessing to you, and sit down and write to us? This is a new broadcast, our first week of broadcasting, and I hope that you will write to me and let me know where you're at, if you're enjoying the broadcast, and encourage our hearts with a letter. And then if the Lord would lead you to help us in a financial manner, you enclose that in the letter. But I do want to encourage you that you pray for us, that God would bless and God's will would be done. Simply address that letter today to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia. Resaca is spelled R-E-S-A-C-A. Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And we'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow at the same time, the Lord willing. God bless you. Is our prayer.
Harvest time, the Savior's calling, the grain is fall.